Hello and welcome to this Medicine Matters Rheumatology podcast. I'm Claire Barnard. In April 2020, the American College of Rheumatology issued guidance for the management of people with rheumatic diseases during the COVID-19 pandemic. We spoke to Ted Michaels, lead author of the ACR guidance, to learn more about what rheumatologists should and shouldn't be doing in light of COVID-19 and what some of the unanswered questions are. Dr. Michaels is a rheumatologist and epidemiologist based at the University of Nebraska Medical Center in the USA. Dr. Michaels, could you outline why it was important to have this ACR guidance and what the main goals are?
Yeah, I think it's fairly obvious that COVID-19 has brought a lot of uncertainty into all of our lives. And I think that is certainly true for rheumatologists and for our patients. We talk a lot to our patients about risks of infection and our concerns about infection with the medicines we use, immunosuppressants, biologics, and disease-modifying drugs. And so our patients have heard a lot about infection. And so when the pandemic came to the forefront, concerns were quite immediate and a lot of questions raised, not only from patients, but from rheumatology providers around the world on how to best manage these patients and what to do with, these complex treatment regimens that we use in rheumatic disease.
So what is currently known about the susceptibility of patients with rheumatic diseases to developing COVID-19?
Yeah, the quick answer is not enough. I mean, we really don't know. It's such a rapidly evolving area. Right now, the major risk factors for the development of COVID-19, for development of infection and poor outcomes from the infection, seem to be independent of the rheumatic disease, at least best we can tell right now. So older age, people who have comorbid health conditions, heart disease, diabetes, high blood pressure, obesity. Unfortunately, a lot of those things are often overrepresented in our rheumatic disease population. So we take care of an older population. Many of our conditions are accompanied by comorbid conditions more often than not. So it doesn't escape our patient population for sure. The question, though, I think is, does the rheumatic disease itself put the patient at higher risk, or do the medicines that we use put patients at higher risk? And we really don't know. There have been some early reports, and thankfully, they've been mostly reassuring. So there's a report that you're probably familiar with that came out of New York City where they looked at, I think, 86 patients with rheumatic disease and inflammatory bowel diseases. And those patients seem to be at a similar risk as the baseline population for being hospitalized from COVID-19. So they weren't protected, but they also weren't at higher risk. So it was somewhat reassuring. And a lot of those patients were on biologic medications.
So obviously we have very limited evidence at the moment, right. But based on what we do know, what are the main things that rheumatologists should and should not do to best care for their patients at this time?
Yeah, I think the first thing I'd say is the guidance that we provide or that others provide don't replace clinical judgment. And so that doesn't go away. So our patients are complex, and we have to have lengthy discussions with patients about these treatment decisions. It's a shared decision-making process. That hasn't gone away. It's happening virtually, but it's still there. And so that's still a very key component to taking care of rheumatic disease patients. So there's a lot of, the guidance covers a lot of ground, but I would say one of the knee-jerk things that I've heard about is stopping medicines in patients because they're worried, they're concerned. And I don't think that's the right thing to do. And our guidance would suggest that as well. So for patients who have stable disease, you have their inflammation from the rheumatic disease under control, there's no guidance out there that we should just stop those medicines. Letting the rheumatic disease be poorly controlled may place patients at even higher risk. So that's one example. And I think, taking time to talking to patients, a shared decision-making process, each scenario is, an individual scenario that doesn't always fit nicely into a guidance document. I do think that we have to be really cognizant of people who have exposures, who get infection. Our guidance is that many of the medicines probably do need to be adjusted in those scenarios. Held temporarily, and that's admittedly based largely on expertise and limited case reports at this point.
What are the main unanswered questions regarding COVID-19 in patients with rheumatic diseases at present, and how should these best be addressed?
There's so many. So one of the questions that I think is very important that we probably need to answer sooner rather than later is, for these people who are impacted by COVID-19 and we hold these drugs, when can we restart them? When's it safe to get these regimens back in their system? And we don't have really solid answers to that to date. That's, you know, one question. What does COVID-19 or infection with the virus do to the underlying rheumatic disease? Does it exacerbate the disease? And it's probably not terribly far-fetched to ask the question, does this infection cause underlying rheumatic disease? I mean, these are all kind of interesting questions that really are going to need to be addressed. There's many more. I mean, every day more questions come out.
So how will you update the guidance as answers to these questions become available?
Yeah, so we have a task force that's convened, and we, you know, at the very onset, we understood that this would, you know, any guidance we developed would be, I think the term we've used is a living document, meaning that we'd come back to it. And so as evidence comes out, you know, we've already developed some of these questions, you know, what are the list of questions that we feel need to be addressed? And the task force will continue to meet and, you know, and as this evidence becomes available, put such guidance out. And so it will be an ongoing process. I wish it wasn't, because that would mean COVID-19 wasn't an issue a month or two from now. I think it's going to be. I think it's going to be with us. And so I think the task force will, you know, stay engaged, and hopefully, you know, we can learn. There's been some consortia. There are some consortia out there, like the Global Rheumatology Alliance, that are, as you are probably familiar, working very diligently to gather data, to learn more about COVID-19. And hopefully we can leverage, you know, not only information that they garner, but from other groups as well, and get additional guidance out to our members and to rheumatologists around the world.
The ACR guidance for the management of patients with rheumatic disease during the COVID-19 pandemic is now published as a living document in Arthritis and Rheumatology. Medicine Matters Rheumatology will be covering the latest research on COVID-19 in rheumatology patients, so keep an eye on rheumatology.medicinematters.com for updates. Thank you very much to Dr. Michaels for talking to us, and thank you to you for listening. This podcast has been produced by MedWire News on behalf of Medicine Matters Rheumatology.